sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, broadcasting remotely today from the Iron Pig South location. Lots of construction going on down here at the location. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Joining us, as usual, in this hour is our history lesson. Sometimes it's Bible, sometimes it's Constitution, but always very current to events happening in the world today. Pastor Chatfield has a biblical worldview perspective for us today regarding Israel. Pastor Chatfield, go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we are, as you, everybody obviously knows, Israel and Iran are at war. President Trump is facing a big decision. Is he going to help? I mean, they're already strategically helping. We're in consultation with Israel. True. We know that. But are we going to use American jets, American bunker buster bombs to take out Iran's nuclear facilities? Are we going to do that? Should we do that? As I see, there's a lot of disagreement on this. Yes, President Trump is a America First guy. I mean, he's the leader of that movement. He's the president of the United States. And in the end here, as my son Lee asked me the other day, well, should he do it? Should we get involved in this or should we not? My answer was, I don't know. Pray for the president. Pray that he would do what he should do. Well, what do you think he should do? I'm not president and I don't know. I don't know exactly. Now, I get it. We're America First. I hear people saying, well, it's not our war. And some in the MAGA movement have already, like Tucker Carlson and others, have kind of said, no way, don't get involved. Well, do they have a biblical worldview? Let me tell you this. The nation of Israel is special. They are special. The United States of America is special. We've had a special relationship with this special country since 1947, 1948. Under the administration of Harry Truman, we were the first major country to recognize their existence. Why? Well, because there's a connection here between our Christianity and the Bible and their Judaism. And you got to be careful here. You got to be really careful because there's extremes on both sides. I understand that. But I want to talk about today what we think the Bible teaches, what I think anyway, and a lot of Bible-believing Christians, most Baptists, but not all, and most evangelical churches believe about who Israel is, but not all. Even that's different. I'm going to give you somewhat of a background history of in theological terms, which really makes us come to a conclusion now. What should our relationship be with Israel? What should we do? Or at least it influences it. Okay. I am what you might call a literalist. When I pick up the Bible and I read it and I take it at face value and I believe it. It's that simple. Now, not everybody who's listening to me comes from a even your pastor that may believe the Bible. He says, well, I'm not a literalist. And I'm going to try to explain some of these things, but let me read this. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll stop right there. I take that literally, however.
Yes. Pick it up right after blessing. You're listening to Pastor Chatfield discuss worldview, biblical worldview of Israel. Short break. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Now, y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
County Conservative Union 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an iron pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our Bible discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. Pastor, if you could back up and start over on that reading of Scripture that you spoke about, let's go right back from the beginning because it got cut off short there right before the break.
Okay, Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So when God said this to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, I want to be on the side that blesses the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was one of the patriarchs. His name was changed to Israel. The Bible says in the New Testament that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's quoting the Old Testament, actually. Again, that's called the Abrahamic covenant, that God gave the land of Canaan to Israel. Again, and that's reaffirmed three times. Here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, God says to Abraham, and it will make thee exceeding fruitful, and it will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So when the Bible says that God said to Abraham, I will give you, look up, and he said, and he reaffirms it, look to the north, south, east, and west. Everything that you see, I'm going to give you. So, Pastor, how do we interpret that? How do you think Abraham interpreted it? That his seed would have this land. And I take that literally. The land belongs to Israel. That's how I interpret it. Again, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. That was the prophecy of the Lord gave to Zechariah. You touch Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye. Oh, well, you think Israel's always right about everything. No, I don't. I don't think they're always right. And I'm not the prime minister of Israel. I can't tell them exactly what they should do, but I would tell you this. I stand with Israel. Now, that's a slightly different question. Do we join them in this endeavor? And there's a lot of different swirling questions about that. So what my position would be, and most Baptists, but not all, and most evangelical Christians, but not all, is that we take the scriptures in the Old Testament literally, and that Israel is not the church. Let me give you a little history here. There was a guy named Augustine that wrote a book way back, I think it was the 5th century, called The City of God. And in that, he was the first to openly, as far as church history tells us, to openly say that, well, all the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament are now fulfilled in the church because God has replaced Israel with a church. So in other words, when I read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, what that's talking about is now the church of Jesus Christ. That's the apple of his eye. Israel has been set aside. God is not dealing with Israel anymore. So all those prophecies in the Old Testament, and yes, some in the New Testament, that endorse Israel, you got to understand, the church has replaced Israel. That's called replacement theology. I reject that. Why? Because the Bible plainly says what it says. And as a literalist, there's another word I'm going to throw out there to you. It's called a dispensationalist. And I'm a moderate dispensationalist. There's some dispensationalists. What's a dispensationalist? Those that believe that God works with different people at different times in different ways. Okay, as far as that goes, I'll go along with that definition. But I don't believe that men in the Old Testament were saved by works, and men in the New Testament are saved by grace through faith. I reject that. Any person that's ever been saved, born again, has been saved by grace through faith apart from works. Nobody can ever be saved outside the grace of God. It is only by grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, was buried, and rose again from the dead to save us all from sin, death, and hell. Okay, but a lot of people, and one of the earliest people was a man named Darby, and then The Schofield Reference Bible, which is the Bible I have on my lap right now, really promotes dispensationalism. But there's a lot of Christian traditions that have rejected that. Go back to Augustine, who wrote this book, The City of God. Eventually, the position of the Roman Catholic Church was that the church had replaced Israel. And that is still their position. There is no loyalty, fidelity by the Roman Catholic Church to the state of Israel. Not like there is for me. I'm not saying they're against Israel. I'm saying they view that the church has replaced Israel. And I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches at all. It doesn't teach it. But when you had the Protestant Reformation in 1517, those that came out of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, and others, even though they separated from the Roman Catholic Church on a lot of issues, praying to Mary, earning your salvation, Protestants believe in the universal priesthood of the believer. They don't believe in a priesthood the way the Roman Catholics do. We don't do that. I'm not here to talk about that. But most of them did retain the eschatological position. The word eschatology is just a study of things to come. They accepted the idea that Israel has now been set aside and it's not special anymore. See, I reject that based on the plain, literal understanding of the Bible. And my argument to those who argue with me would say, well, when God said to Abraham, look, the land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed after you forever. What do you think Abraham thought? He looked at land. The land belongs to them. Now, it is also true, historically, that Israel sinned, and they were dispersed. First, the northern tribes were taken over by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. And then the southern part, Judah, was taken over by the Babylonians in 586. And since then, the Babylonians were taken over by the Persians, and the Persians were taken over by the Greeks, and the Greeks were taken over by the Romans, and the Romans eventually, at least part of that, they became part of what became known as the Ottoman Empire for a long time. And then the Ottoman Turks, Islam took over. And Israel was dispersed throughout all the nations, historically, this is a fact, and they didn't have a homeland. After World War, but there was a movement, it's called a Zionist movement, which, yes, I'm a Christian, and I generally support that, that Israel needs a homeland. Now, I'm skipping a lot of history here, but in World War I, the Ottoman Turks joined the Austrian-Hungarian Empire and the Germans in World War I. They were Central Powers. Uh-oh, they lost. And after that, Britain took kind of control of what used to be called Palestine. And there was a man issued the Balfour Declaration. Foreign minister, and says, hey, let's Israel deserves a homeland. And eventually, after World War II, after the Holocaust, sympathy in the world says, let it, because 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis, they were given a small strip of land in Israel, and they declared their independence. America recognized them, and the Arab nations all around them immediately attacked them in 1948. So you've had ongoing wars, 48, 57, 67, all these wars. So now that we got another war, what happened in with Hamas, the October 21st, now the war with Iran. They've been at war almost continually since their existence. Why? In my view, there's just an unholy hatred for the people of Israel. An unholy hatred. Why would they hate them so much? I've heard Benjamin Netanyahu says, hey, we want peace with our Arab neighbors. And he does. They do. They're not threatening anybody. They want their country. But some in the Arab world, not all. And by the way, when I say the Arab world, I'm not talking about Iran, because Iran is not Arab. Try to remember that. The Iranians are Persians, and the majority of the Iranian people are what we call Shia Muslim. They're not Sunni Muslims. There's a difference between the Sunnis and the Shia, and there's a difference between the Arabs. Most of the countries, for instance, I'm trying to give you some background history here, just so you, if you care. Saudi Arabia, Syria, most of North Africa, including Egypt, Jordan, they're all, half of Iraq are all, or more than half of Iraq are Arabs. They're Arabs, and most, almost all of those are Sunni Muslims. Not all, but most. The people in Iran are, but there's like there's a growing Christian population in Iran. I don't know if you guys know that, but there is. There's things happening in Iran where people are turning to Christ. I get reports of this all the time. But in Iran, they are, they speak a different language. They're a different race. They're not Arab, and they have a different section of Islam called Shia. There you go. The people in Turkey, they're Turks. They're not Arabs either. Now, they're mostly Sunni, and there's just so many different mixtures of things happening here. Let me go back to this. But the one thing they used to have all in common is they hated Israel. Now, I think Saudi Arabia is way more concerned about Iran than they are about Israel. And I think the same thing would be true of Egypt and Jordan. Yeah, they may not come out and completely endorse what Israel's doing, but under their breath, I think they're probably saying, go get them, go get them. I think that's probably the notion. Now, we as Americans, yes, I am an American, but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian American. And my Christian faith says, Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. Don't touch the apple of his eye. Look what happened to Germany when they turned against Israel. They slaughtered all those Jews. Oh, Pastor Chaffee, you think the rebirth of the state of Israel was because of the Holocaust? I do. That contributed to it, worldwide sympathy for it. Look at every empire that persecuted the Jews. They went down in the dust heap of history. Now, that said, careful now. Let me go to the other side. I don't believe just because you're born a Jew means you're saved. No, every Jewish person, every Hebrew, every Arab, every Israeli, every American, every Frenchman, everybody must be born again. You got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died for us, was buried, and rose again from the dead to save us from sin, death, and hell. Everybody's got to be saved. Just because they're the chosen people, I put that in quotations, doesn't mean they're saved. It means as a nation, there are particular nation that God has his hands on. I think that God has blessed our country, at least partially, because we stood with Israel. And that doesn't mean that we should jump into this war. I don't know that we should, and I don't know that we shouldn't. Hey, by the way, why don't sometimes we just say, you know what, pray for President Trump, pray for his advisors, they do the will of God, whatever that is. Because it's a difficult situation. Because we don't want to get involved in every war across the planet, but I do think that the nation of Israel is different. Israel is not the church. And so that is the question. I'll talk about the different theological perspectives after the break.
Sounds good. Bottom of the hour break of hour number two, history lesson, Bible lesson with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.